This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming, to movies, TV shows, and pop culture, to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you from Chicago, USA, with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP Studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. Every year, people come up with some New Year's resolutions, and within days, those resolutions are sometimes broken. Human behavior expert Dr. Alok Trivedi speaks about resolutions and offers tips on how to keep them. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Trivedi.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, so tell me, why do you think people make New Year's resolutions?
I think people make the New Year's resolutions. It's an important question, but I think people do it because they're hoping things are going to be different. They're hoping that where they're at is not where they want to be, and they think that, okay, a new year, a new beginning, something new will shift on January 1st. So I think the real reason is because people are more pissed off at where they are today.
I can relate to that. For a long time, I myself, my New Year's resolution was I wanted to quit smoking. But that was a really hard thing to choose. Are there ways like that you think people kind of sabotage themselves by trying to do a New Year's resolution, like to quit smoking?
It's so funny. I was the same way. I used to be a smoker. As a doctor, even, I used to be a smoker for many years. And I would sit and say, you know, I'm going to quit smoking this year, And I never would do it that way. It never happened that way. But I think we set these sabotage for ourselves. I don't really like the term sabotage necessarily, because it's thinking that you want to do something that you other than you what you are. But the truth is, I think, at least in my experience, it's that you really don't want to do it. You think society makes you do it. And so you judge yourself, and you call that sabotage. But the truth is that you're just, it's not something you really want to do.
You know, that's true, because I didn't want to quit smoking. It took me a long time. And a lot of it was, you know, people saying, hey, Mason, you need to think about your health. Oh, you know, it's so expensive. And I would sit there and say, well, it's something that I like to do. And I didn't want to quit. But it took me a long time to sit there and say, you know what? I really don't like smoking, but it took me 5 years on and off to quit smoking. So how can you tell when it's something that you want to do or just something that society is telling you to do?
That's such a good question, Mason. And congratulations, by the way, for quitting and finally making that step for yourself. I know that it's a big step, so congratulations. I think you got to ask yourself the question. And so I always say to people that if it's something that you would say that you would love to do or something that you feel like you have to do, there's a vast distinction between the two. If you're going to say, I would love to be a non-smoker, let's use smoking to stay on that example, I would love to be a non-smoker and breathe clean air and feel amazing with my life, then you're going to move towards it. The language is going to tell you what part of the brain you actually is. If you say, man, I've got to quit smoking, this is the year that I have to quit, it's going to be harder. The way that the brain and neurology is set up, when you use a word language like I have to, it's going to be harder for you to move towards getting that goal. It just is set up that way.
Would it be better to say I want to?
Yeah, that would definitely move you in the right direction. Definitely that, you know, that's part of the brain that we use that would say I want to, or I'm deciding to, or I even choose to, right? You choose to do things differently. That's a different place. I'll give you an example of this. I stopped drinking alcohol a while ago, but not because of health or not because it was bad or none of that. It's just because, and I'm not against drinking, having a beer here or there. I'm not saying no, but now it's more of a choice of where I want to. I choose to have a drink versus, I don't know about you, Mason, but it's like before I used to go out and always feel like, you know what, it's a social norm and I have to have a drink when I'm hanging out with my guys, with my friends. Now it's, do I want to? And I'm choosing to if I do.
You know, that reminds me of my father, not drinking beer per se, because he still drinks beer, but it's coffee. One day I was making coffee and I was like, Dad, do you want some coffee? You know, should I make some for you too? He's like, no, just make the pot for you. And I'm like, well, why? He's like, well, I just don't want to drink coffee anymore. And I thought that was the weirdest thing ever, but he chose, I don't want to drink coffee. I don't know why he did that. He never said why, but it's just, that's what it reminded me of. Like he chose, it was his choice to sit there and say, you know what? No more coffee. I'm done.
Yeah. It's such an empowering place, right? Like it's completely different than I have to or I need to because it's survival. This is, I'm wanting to and I'm choosing to, and I'd love to live my life this way. What an empowered way to live where you get choice on what you want to do with yourself.
Well, besides drinking and smoking, do you know any other interesting New Year's resolutions people have done before?
Well, I think people always do the money one, right? Like they want to make an X amount of money, or, you know, people in business want to do X amount of sales or grow their business to X amount in there. Weight loss is always a huge one. Everyone always talks about weight loss sometimes, but those are the ones that I most commonly know.
What do you think are some good guidelines you can follow to help make your New Year's resolution come true?
Yeah, I would say number one is chunk it small, right? Like I use an example. Let's use weight loss if it's okay, because it's probably one that's pretty common. Let's say you want to lose 50 pounds. You know, your body, your doctor says you got to lose 50 pounds, and you say, okay, I got to lose 50 pounds. It sounds like a big daunting task. 50 pounds is a lot to work through, and that can be overwhelming to people, and it causes people to fail. Instead, reframe that to something a little bit simpler. What if you just had to lose 5 pounds a month? You set the target and the goal that I'm going to lose 5 pounds a month, and you work towards that. In a matter of 10 months, you'll lose 50 pounds versus trying to do it all in a short time frame. It's really tough and difficult to do that.
I have such bad experiences with New Year's resolutions to the point where my cousin and I will sit there and say, I don't want to even make one. It's so disappointing that you don't even do it anymore. So what I've started to do it is I use my birthday now. So I'll be like, okay, this is the year, Mason, starting from your birthday, we're going to figure out how we're going to do this. Do you think that people should just start doing that? Like not even do New Year's resolutions? Just, hey, it's March. Let's just start in March.
You know, I'm not a fan of New Year's resolutions, to be honest with you, simply because what makes a new day, a new year, a new calendar year say that things are going to be different? It doesn't work. It's better to say, look, I want to make that choice, like your father did. Say, I want to start today not to drink coffee. I want to start today doing X, Y, Z. Just make that choice today. Why wait for some special day? Because here's the thing, right, Mason? The interesting is that you're going to say January 1, and then there's another excuse. I got this party coming up in January 10th. Oh, yeah, but then it's Susie's wedding on January 24th. When I'm not going to be able to do these things. And something always shows up. Rather than starting today and giving yourself permission to start living.
I went to a taco place. I forgot the name of it. But right above the register, there was a big cute sign that said, the diet starts tomorrow. How
yes,
true.
It's good for their business, right?
Yeah, right? And I thought that as I bought my 5 tacos.
Right.
What can you do, though? Because, you know, for me, it is daunting. I want to learn how to play the guitar. Where do you start? Do you buy the guitar? And it's always so easy to drop money, right? Instead of putting the effort. But how can you make yourself be held accountable? What tips can you give me for that?
Yeah, so there's a big thing. I always say keep your mouth shut. And the reason I say that goes completely against what people say. Well, tell everyone your goals. Tell everyone your resolutions. Tell everyone what you want to do. And then get an accountability partner. And what most people do, and correct me if you've ever done this, you get a friend of yours to be your accountability partner. And your friend, now they try to hold you accountable because you've asked them to do this. You tell them to do that, and then you don't do it. Then they start chirping at you and say, hey, look, you said you were going to do this, and that becomes a squabble between you and your friend. Instead, if you keep your mouth shut, and if it's truly important to you, you're going to go pursue it. You're going to go do the things that you really value and find important. You're going to make time for it. But what most people do is they say things or do things that they don't really feel that they value and really want to do. So they judge themselves again.
Maybe similar, not so sure, similar experience. But I've had people, I tell them, hey, I need your help. Don't let me buy these chocolates anymore. You know, I'm trying to lose weight. And what'll happen is that, you know, 2 a.m, we'll be hanging out. And suddenly they become a partner in crime. Like, let's go get those chocolates.
Oh, let it go this one time.
Exactly. In that case, it would have been better just to keep my mouth shut. Be like, nah, I don't want any chocolates. And nobody would have known, right? Because at this point, they become a partner in crime with you. They're getting chocolates too. Things they shouldn't be eating. And then you're getting things you shouldn't be eating. And before you know it, you're both just like pigging out at 3 a.m.
Right. Now you got like a face full of chocolate. You're like, what happened to my diet?
It starts tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow, exactly.
Now, you know, would it be better to be on forums? Because maybe it being more anonymous would help you not feel so guilty. Or just, you know, like, hey, okay, I'm just putting it here and some people can chime in.
There is a great social component. And social, you know, watching a community move towards it. You know, we social studies and social sciences have shown this, is that rewarding behavior of where people want to move towards and seeing other people accomplish those things, if it's truly valuable to you, is a valuable thing to see where others can go. We know this in our brain. We move towards that. We can do that. So I think it doesn't hurt to put it in there, but if you're going to put it on a forum, the warning I would give is the backlash. You're going to get people who come violently opposing you and come in the other direction, and you got to be able to not take it personally. It is social media. It's an anonymous place for both positive and negative.
The internet is just full of trolls, and that's the only thing I like to think to myself is like, just take it with a grain of salt. Some people will enjoy it and some don't, you know?
You're one of the few, right? Like, I think as we mature, but like, we know, you know, these kids, as they go through their social media, like, they really take it personally. They're living their life by the likes, and they're living their world by the social acceptance of social media. And it really is a psychological phenomenon that's happening in our world today. It's gone from the peer groups of the playground now to the global peer group of the digital platform.
You know, it's also, you want to sit there and get so much validation from your peers. And that happened the first time I tried to quit smoking. I remember I tried to quit and I ended up getting back on cigarettes, but I was also working out at that time because I want to get a little bit healthier and more fit. And my uncle said, you know, why are you even bothering to exercise when you're still smoking? And I felt so embarrassed and I felt a lot of shame because I still smoked. Like, he's right. Why am I even bothering trying to eat salads? And why am I going to bother and go to the gym when I'm still smoking? And I ended up kind of going into a little bit of like taking three steps back. And it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to make a mistake as long as you keep trying to move forward a little bit, you know?
Yeah, you know, there is no mistake. Just realize that. Just say that it's all forward, moving towards the direction that you want to go. The shame, the guilt, the judgment, all of that was probably needed for you to realize. That's why we're having that conversation now, is that, you know what, I realized that. And I was angry, I was pissed off, and it made you rebound in a different way. Maybe there was a part of you that probably even went and said, you know what, Uncle, I'm going to show you I can do this and get rid of smoking and get fit at the same time.
When it comes to New Year's resolutions, is there any that you should probably just not even do and you instead take it as a different way?
I don't know if there's something you shouldn't. I wouldn't say you do New Year's resolutions in a component, but if you're going to, set them to be realistic, right? I would say live your life without these absolute rules. The more rules you place on yourself, the more realities you're going to break them, like this chocolate experience that you're having with your friend at 3 a.m. But if you're going to place these resolutions for yourself, just make them palpable and tangible that you can actually win. Don't make them so pie in the sky that it becomes very difficult to achieve them. That's the hard part. Our brain will move to, if we get these little rushes of dopamine, it's like a kid taking their first step. We make them palpable that we can make the first one attainable. Then we say, oh, wait, we build the belief around that. We can say, we can do this again. Now let's build the next one. Oh, we can do that one too. Now let's build the next one. It's the same thing with these resolutions. Make them simple, chunkable, where you can actually attain them.
Well, Dr. Trivedi, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate you being here. For those listening, where can they find more information about you?
You can go to the AlignPerformanceInstitute.com. You can go to ChasingSuccessBook.com, or you can put Dr. Alok Trivedi on Google and everything else will show up too.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Head to WGNradio.com for exclusive content by Mason. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter @MasonVeraPayne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.